Love is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms. Brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way.
Good morning, David.
Hi, Faye.
Lovely day.
I haven't looked at it yet.
Oh, you haven't had your coffee.
That's right.
Doesn't anybody get it for you before you leave in the morning?
Yeah, my landlady, if I don't get out fast enough, boy, is that a wedge of iron.
I'll make you some fresh.
Lady, hey, what is with you making like sunbeam style?
I like my work. Well, did you see her?
See who? Or as the boss would say, whom?
You know whom. Kate, of course.
Your eyes are. Looks fine.
I'm glad.
Come on, Faye. Be nice.
I'm being a lot nicer than you think. Did you talk about Tony Cushing's wife?
Of course not.
Did you?
Faye, since the day you brought in that gossip column clipping about the arrival of Mrs. Anthony Cushing, you've been pushing on this. Now, why?
You really want to know?
I sure do.
Because I know what she's going through.
You do?
I feel sorry for her. I feel sorry for any girl who gets involved with a heel who's married.
Well, okay. I'm not asking any questions.
Sometimes I wish you would. You play it safe. The big brother of us all.
Come on, Faye.
I feel sorry for Kate because I've been through it.
A guy that was married?
Yep. I left Bellhaven with him. At first, he didn't tell me. When he did, he said he was getting a divorce. Well, he's back home, still married and working at it.
Here in Bellhaven?
That I'm not telling.
Right. Sorry, Faye.
So was I. So will Kate be. Right now, she's probably hitting bottom.
If she is, she's keeping it to herself.
What else? She's got a few problems to settle.
Like what?
Like whether she's going to see the guy again.
I can tell you right now, Kate's not going to get mixed up with a guy who's married.
No?
That's not Kate.
It wasn't me either. Or any girl who gets herself into this jam. I'll tell you one more thing, David. If you think Kate's going to give up Tony just because he's married, you've got something to learn. That's the big bind. The guy gets more attractive once you know you can't have him.
Morning, Jessie.
Oh, Kate. You brighten my kitchen.
Oh, it's good to be home.
How did you sleep?
Fine. So you moved me into the yellow room after all?
That I did. You had enough of your old room.
Now I'm a guest.
Which is not such a bad idea. Oh, let me look at you. What's the city doing to you?
It's exciting, Jesse. Makes you feel young.
Giddy, Miss Isabel used to say. And no good comes of that.
Ah, but then you're a sensible girl.
Do you ever see that nice gentleman who came here once or twice, that Mr. Cushing?
Yes, I have.
Now, there is a man for you. He takes time to be polite, but still he walks proud. My Sam walked proud. I wouldn't have a man that didn't. Oh, but the lights of heaven, didn't I forget?
Forget what?
A letter that came for you. Much too important, I said to myself, to be sending down to the city. Oh, here it is.
Oh, Jessie, you should have sent it on. It's special delivery.
Which means it can be special loss, too. I knew you'd be coming home. Now you've got it safe.
Oh, thanks, Jessie.
Good news won't spoil. Now, go and read it. You haven't smiled much since you came home.
Wakefield Real Estate, this is Pat. Well, sure. I'll be over to see the house tomorrow morning. Bye now.
You made only one mistake, Pat.
Kate!
Surprise!
Oh, golly. Are you a sight for sore eyes? When did you come up?
Last night.
Just how long have you been standing there listening to me make like an executive?
I came in the back way just as you picked up the phone. And you made only one mistake.
Oh, what? This is not Wakefield Real Estate anymore. It's your business now.
Pat and Chuck Real Estate? Yuck. Oh, never mind that, Kate. I want to hear about you. How's the job? How's Tony?
First, how are you, Pat?
Look at me. Chuck's taking the hinges off the doors.
That baby's due pretty soon, isn't it?
It's not how soon, it's how many.
Honestly?
Well, the doctor isn't talking. He says it'll only make Chuck nervous. Chuck, what's he got to do with it?
Well, if you don't know now, Pat.
Oh, if I can remember. Tell me, have you seen Tony?
Yes, I've seen him.
Doesn't sound like launch time on the rocket pad.
Pat?
Hmm?
You're my best friend, so you might as well know what everybody else seems to be finding out. Tony's married.
The louse.
No, Pat, it isn't like that at all. I mean, it isn't a real marriage.
Oh, Kate, he hasn't told you that one.
He's told me everything.
Oh? Where is she?
She arrived in town a few days ago.
Oh, so he had to tell you.
No, not really. They haven't lived together in 3 years.
She doesn't understand him, I suppose.
It isn't any marriage at all.
Well, he seems to have convinced you.
Well, you didn't have to. I had that kind of marriage myself.
But you had a problem.
Maybe he does. I don't know.
Well, that doesn't leave much for me to say.
Nope. Nor me either. I'm just trying to figure things out. When a marriage isn't a marriage, I know mine wasn't from sometime in the first year.
Not even during all that romantic sailing down in the islands?
I was a deckhand, period. Pretty good one. And when we got home, I was a nurse companion. Once Tom put drugs first, nothing else mattered to him, until finally nothing else could matter. Oh, Pat, you don't know how lucky you are.
Maybe I do. It's a tough break for you, Kate.
Maybe I should have guessed. Or I should have asked him. But Pat, he was so free. He always had time to do things that never occurred to me.
Look, take your time.
What does that mean?
Well, live with it a while.
Meantime, I can't get involved with a married man. I don't want that.
But if Tony were free...
When I thought he was, I saw a lot of him. That sort of answers the question, doesn't it?
Hi, girls.
Hi, David.
Am I a crowd?
Oh, the crowd I would most want to get lost with.
You're on the list, Pat. Kate, I called you at noon. Mrs. Jessup said you might be here. The county newspaper dinner is tonight. Would you like to go with us?
With us?
Yeah, with Faye and me and some of the kids from the office.
Oh, David, that's terribly nice of you and Faye, but I can't tonight.
Okay.
Thanks anyhow. I do appreciate it.
Don't worry about it.
See you, Pat, before I go back to the big city.
Right on.
Bye, David.
Bye-bye.
Oh, boy, David. Was that a 100% lousy idea? You and Faye?
Oh, now, look, Kate wouldn't go out with me alone, and I don't want her sitting around that empty house by herself getting the willies.
So you know.
But Tony? Here. You too?
She told me.
If I see that guy, I'm going to take one good swing at him.
Mother's little helper, huh? Cool it, David.
Why?
Something tells me Kate's more involved than she'll admit even to herself.
Oh, I'm glad you're home, Kate.
What's wrong, Jesse?
Oh, there's a man been here about a half hour. He won't go without seeing you and wouldn't give his name.
Oh, where is he?
In Mr. Arthur's study. With his eyes shifting cold as two marbles in a saucer whenever I pass. Now, I'd best go with you.
No, Jesse, I'll see him alone. I think I know who it is.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen.
Me.
And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Faces of Love features Joan Loring as Kate Wakefield and Nat Polan as Anthony Cushing. Also appearing were Terry Keane, Jackson Beck, and Mason Adams. Produced and directed by Ernie Ricca. Written by Margaret LaWorth. And brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant possible. This is Mel Brandt. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. The Author's Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.
Dear friends, your author of Vanity Fair, William Makepeace Thackeray, and welcome to my study. But pray, take no notice of my shockingly cluttered desk. The ragtag bits of paper are notes to myself. Oh, yes, yeah, this one. See that Becky writes Amelia. Oh, I've not done it. And this, make clear to listeners, Sir Pitt ogles Becky. Yes. I've done that, I'm sure, and without using that rather coarse word, ogle. No, it's an amusing word. I like its sound. Ogle. Oh, my gad, here's a note that's plagued me. Becky Rawdon assignation, get on with it. Well, since Monday last, I have tried to lead those two into that orangery, but all manner of distractions intervene. Well, I shall get on with it. In fact, now. Well, almost now. First, I must write that tonight Becky is in her room and... Aha! Oh, I've just seen how I may take care of all three notes at once.
Giles, fetch quill and paper, please. I must write to dear Amelia.
But, miss, you're to meet Captain Rawdon. It's gone 10 and after.
Do you fancy for a moment I forgot? I told him we'd wait till 10:30.
Ah.
But before I venture one step from here, I'll send you to make certain all is dark and everyone bedded. The writing things, please.
Yes, miss.
Giles, have you noticed how Sir Pitt ogles me?
Who don't?
Who don't notice or who don't ogle?
Well, I'd say both, Miss Becky.
Ogle. Rather coarse word, I think.
I don't think so. I like how it sounds. Ogle. Your quill, miss.
Yes. Oh, I can't write. Not this night. I can think only of Rawdon.
Then write of him, ma'am.
As if I wouldn't. All right. Oh, how shall I begin? My dearest Amelia. Oh, no, I said that last time. Darling Amelia. Would I could think of something different.
Petkins.
What?
You know, 'tis what Miss Crawley calls a little dog.
I had to call dearest darling Amelia by poof poof pet name.
She's not now.
Oh, the same I won't call her. Oh, why not? I may even call Captain Rawdon Petkins.
He would know.
And you ought to know I'd not dream of calling him that silly name, Giles. Do I look all right?
Ah, beautiful, miss, truly. Such a pretty blue frock.
The other blue frock you like so much? It's yours.
Oh, Miss Becky.
Oh, how lucky we're the same size. You shall have many frocks when I have many.
Oh, thank you. And you do look beautiful for Mr. Rawdon.
Oh, why did I give him my heart? I meant never to give it away.
Not ever.
I said, I vowed, I'd fight my way up from nobody to somebody, from poor to rich. Now love will get in the way.
If you marry Mr. Rawdon, you'll be somebody. Ain't his papa a sir?
A baronet, yes. Mm. But the poor part. We may be poor, and I can't bear it. I've been poor so long and hated so. Oh,
what ails you, Miss Becky? You know Mr. Rawdon will be rich one day.
Sir Pitt's title and money both go to young Mr. Pitt, always to the eldest son.
Have you forgot Miss Crawley? Forgot his auntie? £70,000 a year for him. That's poor.
No, you goose. It's a fortune. Uh-huh. But if she finds out that Rawdon and I are even the way we are now, she'll change her will.
I ain't so sure. Every day, more and more, she's smitten with you.
I'm still a governess, still low-born. And if we marry before she dies, she will... Now, what a goose I am. Fuss, fret, worry, rant, storm, rave, and Rawdon has only kissed me twice. It all may come to nothing. Oh. Now, time for you to go. See that no one's stirring and don't take a candle. If it's seen, there'll be questions. And hurry back.
Yes, ma'am.
It'll be just like Sir Pitt to stay up late, snoozling himself with brandy. You see, first fret, worry, and all the while, dear Sir Pitt, sound asleep and snoring.
Now, there's a thing. Sir Pitt getting serpentined and corkscrewed out of his senses on drink. Will Becky and Rawdon still not meet?
I don't know. Neither do you.
Wait a bit, and we shall see.
Say, did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest-lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays will give you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On. So economical, yet so effective.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Final Net sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Final Net is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Final Net go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Final Net, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Queen's Crawley Manor is dark, all candles snuffed, all occupants sleeping, save 3. Giles has checked with care. Now, yonder in the orangery, she sees the glow of a cigar and tiptoes through the dark to the door, where a feverish Rawdon leans on the jamb.
You're there, sir.
Girl, I thought you'd never... Becky.
No,
Don't talk. Stay quiet in my arms. Oh, no, I'll not take my hand from your lips. Hush, hush. Why do you fight me? Very well. My apologies, Miss Sharp.
Captain Rawdon, it's only me.
Giles?
Yes, sir.
Good gad.
I'm sorry, sir.
Where in God's name is your mistress?
She sent me.
She's not coming?
Oh, she is, sir.
Is?
Yes, sir.
And why the devil did you?
Well, she sent me to look if all is safe.
Oh, well then, go back and tell her that you weren't safe.
Oh, sir, I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry, Giles. Now fetch Miss Becky. As you saw, I find waiting not to my taste.
Ma'am, all is safe, and Mr. Rawdon awaiting in the orange room.
Orangery? Waiting, is he?
And it ain't to his taste.
Nor mine. Do I still look all right?
He can't see you now, Hal. You could be dressed in... just like me, and he'd not know no different.
Oh, yes, he would.
No, ma'am, he would not.
What's wrong with you? Why are you so cranky? You
best go along, Miss Rebecca.
Miss Rebecca? Giles, what is it? Did you stumble in the dark or something?
You might say so, ma'am.
Oh, I'm sorry, and sorry I sent you.
I'm sorry, too. And... you best go.
Are you sending me off like this, not even wishing me well?
Miss Becky, I wish you all the best. You know I do. And when he puts his arms around you. I know just how they feel, miss. I'll surely know.
Rawdon, are you there?
Who is it?
Who is it?
Becky?
Who did you think?
Once before, I didn't think. Oh, Becky.
Oh, don't touch me.
What?
I must say I expected a different greeting, Captain Crawley. You laugh.
Giles didn't tell you.
A message you'd change your mind and heart? No, she did not tell me. Good night, Captain Crawley.
No, Becky. For God's sake, I'm sorry. Listen to me.
I'm not sure I care to hear what you have to say.
Giles, she came. In the dark, I thought she was you. I didn't want her, you, to talk. Put my hand over her mouth and pulled her like this. I take my hand away if you say you forgive me.
I forgive you. Oh, Rawdon. Oh, Patkin. You held little Giles like this?
Alas, alack, dear listeners, you were longing for a romantic, lilting, tender, loving tryst. Well, I'm making a note. Tomorrow, tender tryst, without fail. So, dear listeners, forgive me, and I know that I am ever your tender servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oceder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oceder angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Oceder makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound. Oceder makes your life easier.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Used as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Ah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
The Author Studio has been brought to you by the Oceder Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the Comedy of Errors at the Baxter. On the Little Things in Life. Brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol.
And Mag, it's so wonderful to see you.
Oh, my goodness, dear. It's just wonderful to see you.
I'll put your suitcases up in your room, Aunt Maggie.
No. Just the two large ones and that small one. The canvas satchel and the three shopping bags leave right here.
You didn't carry three shopping bags on the plane.
I certainly did. Everything's breakable. I have quite a few surprises for you.
Do you?
Such as those apricot peach preserves you like so well.
Goodness. You didn't carry a lot of canned things all the way from Montana.
No. Don't peek at them. I'm going to get out of my good clothes and into a house dress so I can start dinner.
Dinner. Aunt Maggie, you're not getting
now,
dinner.
Now, you know I am not one to go visiting and just sit around twiddling my thumbs.
Well, you can certainly twiddle your thumbs the first night you get here. I have dinner all planned anyway.
Well, we'll see. I'll make some apple dumplings for dessert then. I'm trying to take off some weight.
Nonsense. Anyway. You look lovely. You want to be like those skinny models?
Frankly, yes.
Oh, it's so good to see you.
It's so good to see you too, dear. Mm. And I've got so much to tell you. Now I'll go change and get out of my good clothes.
All right, Aunt Maggie, I'll set the table.
Your suitcases are on the luggage racks, Aunt Maggie.
I hope you didn't open them for her. You know how she is about anybody seeing her personal things.
I couldn't have opened them if I wanted to. They're locked, strapped, and a small chain around with a padlock.
Oh, Aunt Maggie's something, isn't she? Do you have any trouble finding her at the airport?
No, not a bit. I could hear her voice above everybody else's as they all came through the gate.
Who was she talking to?
Everyone. She was saying goodbye to everyone. Apparently it wasn't crowded, and Aunt Maggie must have been seat-hopping through the whole flight.
Yeah, of course.
So, of course, she introduced me to everyone. Mm-hmm. Oh, now this is my nephew that I told you about. Then she grabbed some other poor man or woman. I want you to meet my nephew. It was embarrassing.
Oh, you get embarrassed about the silliest things, dear. I'm sure the people didn't mind.
You know, she never stopped talking all the way from the airport. I've had 2 hours of whose cousin married somebody else's half-sister and some endless story about somebody who sold his house and got cheated, else he bought the house and got cheated.
Now, look, Aunt Maggie's all wound up from the trip. Yeah. She really is. She's just all excited,
I
you know?
Guess so. Oh, I didn't tell you. Just as we were walking out of the airport, she said, "Oh, there's my pilot." He was walking out with his co-pilot, uh-huh. I guess, and some stewardesses.
Yes.
Well, Aunt Maggie tore over, and she stopped him, and she said, "I just want you to know that I thought you flew that plane very nicely."
Well,
she did. She did. She thanked them all.
Oh, well, they probably appreciated it, too.
Oh, no, I'd forgotten that. Doesn't she know any other songs?
Yeah, she's going to hear. My, that was a quick change.
I decide to unpack after dinner and take a bath before I go to bed. Anyhow, I want to get the apple dumpling started.
Well, I can't wait any longer. I want to see what's in the shopping bags. I feel like a child at Christmas.
All right. You can take things out.
Oh, blackberry jam. Apple butter. Strawberry jam. Gooseberry, honey.
Goose.
Oh,
I love it.
Oh, there's some black raspberry. And ground cherry preserves.
Oh, ground cherry.
Watermelon pickles.
Oh, watermelon pickles. Oh, Aunt Maggie.
Oh, it's fun to bring you things.
Well,
you
both always appreciate them.
Oh, look, there's mustard pickles, too. And oh, my goodness, I've forgotten what all. I'm afraid I did give away one of those strawberry preserves to this nice lady I met on the plane.
Oh, well, that's typical of you, dear. Well, I've had to put these things in the pantry. Mm-hmm. Oh,
after
good.
Dinner, mm-hmm. There's something I'd like to talk to you both about.
Why, sure.
Something wrong, Aunt Maggie?
Well, it's been a sort of a family secret, but I think it's time I told you. I won't say a word more right now. I've got to get the apple dumplings made. My, it's so good to be here.
No.
Now, please, Aunt Maggie, don't keep us in suspense. What is this family secret?
Well, I don't suppose it's anything really, but it's just something that's been in the family for years.
What has?
Well, what's in this box? Before I open it, I have to tell you about it first.
Oh, goodness knows we're all ears. Is it something terrible?
Well, no. It's just something, that's all, that the family has kept secret. Something we got years ago, and apparently we shouldn't have kept it, if you know what I mean.
No.
Well, you know, when there's been a crime, is always looking for clues or evidence, whatever you call it.
You mean somebody in our family committed a crime?
Well, if you take something that's evidence and hide it from the law, I guess that's sort of a crime, isn't it?
Well, yes, but now, look, Aunt Maggie, don't go into a million details, but tell us exactly what you're talking
we
about.
We better tell it in our own way.
Well, at least get to the point.
I'm not going to tell you at all if you don't let me tell it in my own way, because it is something the family has been very nervous about for years and years and years.
How many years?
Well, about 100.
Aunt Maggie. How could anybody be worried about something that happened 100 years ago?
Well, the family was worried, I tell you that.
Well, what happened 100 years ago?
A bank was robbed. Yes. Well, now, maybe you realize this isn't quite as funny as it seems to be to you, Mr. Smarty.
Okay, I'm sorry. Somebody in the family robbed a bank?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that isn't money in that box, is it, Aunt Maggie?
Did you ever hear of a man named Jesse James?
Why, yes, certainly, of the bank robber.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for Pete's sake. We're not related to Jesse James,
oh,
are
no,
we?
No, my heavens, certainly not. But he robbed a bank in Northfield, Minnesota, back in 1876.
Yes, everybody's heard of that.
Didn't they do a movie on it, the James Brothers or something like
now,
that?
Now, what does Jesse James robbing a bank 100 years ago have to do with our family?
This. Oh, I guess I need a scissors. I tied a double knot in the string around the box.
Give it to me here. I'll break it.
I'll open the box, thank you.
Okay.
Well, here it is.
What is it?
Well, for heaven's sakes, what does it look like?
It looks like a battered up old hat.
It is. It's Jesse James's hat. Well?
Well, I don't know what to say.
Isn't there more to the story, Maggie? I mean, how did somebody get Jesse James's hat?
It was my grandmother. She saw the robbers run out of the bank, and Jesse's hat blew off, and she ran out in the street and picked it up and took it home and never said one word about it to anybody because she got scared when the sheriff was looking for clues and the whole town was upset, and she was scared to tell her father she had it. Well, she hid it for years.
Well, how did she know whose hat it was? I mean, just one of the robbers could have...
Look inside. It says J. James, and he bought it. Well, you can hardly read it. At the B-something dry goods store in something North Dakota. And they got all the other robbers except Jesse and Frank, who escaped.
Oh, well, yeah, that's fascinating, Aunt Maggie. But I can't believe you're worried now about having Jesse James' hat. Well,
of course I'm not worried. What's the matter with you?
Well, I thought you were worried and nervous telling us all
Certainly
this.
Not. I was just telling you the story of how the family was worried when they realized my grandmother had hidden the solid evidence that it was Jesse James who robbed the bank. You know, sometimes, Robert, you take after your Uncle Martin. He always was a little thick between the ears.
Well, I just didn't know why you were making such a big deal out of it.
Dear, Bob.
Sometimes you act as though I didn't have all my marbles, as they say nowadays.
Now, look, both of you, Bob didn't mean anything.
Well, I was going to give him the hat, but now I'm going to give it to you, dear. It is dirty and beaten up, but it was Jesse James's hat.
Well, Aunt Maggie, I thank you.
Welcome. Now, I'm going to get some fresh coffee. Some people I know do not appreciate antique heirlooms, especially when there's a story attached.
Do you think that dirty thing is Jesse James' hat?
I don't know. She thinks so. It could be. What does it matter? Think of that little girl picking up the hat and hiding it and then being scared to tell. I mean, you know, Jesse James, it's quite a story, dear.
I bet it is. My family's great on stories, and don't you believe everything she tells you. Aunt Maggie's gift of gab.
I heard that.
That
story is true.
Yeah. Well, Aunt Maggie, thank you. I will, what's the word? I will cherish Jesse James's dirty hat.
Aunt Maggie, we love you, and we love having you here.
Oh, thank you, dear.
It's going to be so lovely to have Christmas with you.
Oh, isn't it nice?
I forgot cream and sugar. Be right back. Roses are blooming in Picardy. Da-da-dee-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Peg, I have to tell you, she's the love of my life.
Hi, I'm the teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair. Me, with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Used as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
The Little Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by 4-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant relief possible. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To to have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Final Net, the non-aerosol hair mist that holds up longer than you do.
Yes, Lynn, Emily's going home today. Yes, I know. We both want to meet Kurt as soon as... Yes. Oh, yes, the board's okayed your idea for a patient staff newsletter when you're ready. Well, Emily will call you tonight. Fine, Lynn. Bye. Come in, Marsh.
Well, Jace, I've signed Emily's release.
Uh-huh. Marsh, do you think my rushing her from the cabin was unnecessary?
Well, there's nothing new, of course. What is evident is that the higher dosage was controlling the headache, but the numbness...
Yes, Angela should have told us.
Oh, I really laid it out for her. I mean, if she knows something, anything about Emily, she has got to let me know, Jason. I mean, no matter what her personal feelings are about me.
Yes, I know. Marsh, how is everything?
Oh, about the same. I talked to Cora.
Could she help at all?
Well, she's pretty understanding, and I hope she'll be able to help Ginger. Sometimes a sister can, but I just don't know yet.
Mm. You mentioned that something happened while you were at Billing.
Yes, that's really where it all started.
Well, Marsh, if you want to tell me...
Jason, I hate to load it on you.
No, forget it. We're both concerned with how this is affecting all of us. Your Betsy, our Susie, and, of course, Angela.
Yeah, I know it's rough on her. She thinks by avoiding me, she won't be giving Ginger any reason for her suspicions.
About Billings now.
All right. Look, while I was there, I knew a young resident. Phoebe was her name, and, well, exactly the same thing happened. For no reason at all, Ginger became absolutely certain that there was something going on between us.
For no cause at all?
Absolutely none. Hmm. We just worked together, and Ginger went to Keller.
Oh, yes, Keller.
Right. And he believed Ginger and told me either Phoebe or I should leave for the good of the service, you might say.
Well, that's a drastic solution.
Well, not when you consider what Ginger threatened to do.
What was that?
She was going to send a letter to the board of directors.
Of the hospital?
Yes. And you can imagine what the reaction to that would have been.
And Keller?
Oh, he just wanted the easy way out, so I left. I couldn't expect Phoebe to go. After all, it was my wife who was causing all the grief.
Oh, boy, what a mess.
Well, I wouldn't mind it so much now, but it's only made Ginger absolutely sure that I am not to be trusted ever again.
Mm. And what did Keller really believe?
I don't know. He never said.
If he'd only stood up for you, Marsh.
Oh, look, I wasn't one of his favorites, Jace.
Oh?
It was nothing big. It was just a matter of personality. Believe it or not, everyone does not think me the lovable chap that I really am.
Oh, well, you've heard of horse races.
Exactly.
Marsh, I wonder if I talk to Keller, we might be able to straighten this out.
Well, thanks a lot, but I doubt it. Don't you see? He'd have to admit that he was wrong.
Oh. Well, I know Keller, and that's not about to happen.
Well, look, maybe Cora can get to Ginger and... Oh, I don't know. We had such a good life once, Jace. I wish I knew what happened to change it all.
Julie, I haven't tapped it for years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Shut up, kid.
5 minutes, Claude.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh.
Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Final Net. Final Net is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Final Net holds up longer than you do.
How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays. And Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays.
Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side, each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On. Why settle for less?
Jason?
Hmm?
Can we stop at the supermarket on the way home?
Well, and what for?
I promised Jennifer I'd make tappy apples for her class.
The whole class? Oh, well.
I think Jennifer got carried away and volunteered me.
Darling?
Hmm?
How are you feeling now?
Well, when you just get out of the hospital, it's hard to tell how you feel.
Well, there's got to be some logic there somewhere.
Well, I mean, you feel so good about getting out that you forget what you went in for.
Hmm. Well, now that the euphoria has worn off, how do you feel?
Perfectly okay. I see Marsh put me back on the stronger medication.
Oh, yes, yes. That seems to handle the headaches and tinnitus, doesn't it?
So far, so good.
Oh.
I hear we have a new pet at home.
Oh, yes, Charlie, a black and white kitten.
Well, I think Jennifer's old enough.
Mm-hmm.
Has there been any word from Bobby?
Well, he misses his car.
His car?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Nothing about his family?
Well, you got a mention in there somewhere, but as they say, the thrust of the argument was directed at me.
Oh?
Yes, to let him take his car back to Harvard when he comes home for Thanksgiving.
Oh, of course.
Mm.
How's your father, darling?
Well, Robert's in a spot. He's caught between his sense of duty as a host and his almost unreasoning suspicion of Kurt.
You know, I never could quite figure out why fathers worry more about son-in-laws than they do about daughter-in-laws.
And you're going to be a child psychologist?
Well, I know. There's the patriarchal head of the herd feeling at work, but now there's also the male bonding principle.
Oh, that.
Since men are supposed to have common interests, which create the bond.
Well, I think I'll wait until next year's theory comes along.
Oh, we'll see how you think when Susie and Jennifer get married.
Don't rush at it.
How is Susie? And Angela?
Darling, I wish there were a female bonding theory that would make Susie like her aunt a little better.
I wonder how much the Marsh Ginger situation is affecting her.
Well, he is your supervisor.
Now, Ginger, please. Jason and I work together very well.
I think a little dinner party could help matters along.
Darling, I don't need that kind of help.
I'm only thinking of you and your career.
Well, I just don't think asking Jason and Emily to dinner will accomplish very much.
Since the Carters haven't seen fit to invite us.
Well, exactly. Let's leave it that way, shall we?
It is customary for chiefs of services in hospitals to entertain their staffs.
Look, honey, Emily Carter is in no condition to play hostess.
Well, then I think she'd appreciate my taking the initiative.
No, 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 Ginger.
Are you ashamed of me? Is that it, Marsh?
Now, where did you get that idea?
The one thing I can do to help your career is entertaining. And every time I do it, you complain.
Every time? When did I ever
complain? The Sexton. You were absolutely insulting to her.
Oh, that. Look, any time anyone plays bridge as badly as she does...
We all can't be as brilliant as you.
Well, I'm sorry if I insulted her, but it was just at the end of a long, hard day.
And as I remember, you were very edgy.
I suppose I was.
Yes. My asking the Sextons for dinner had interfered with your evening plans for Angela Fairchild.
Oh. Oh, no. I mean, there has got to be one subject.
What are you talking about?
There has to be something that you and I can talk about that doesn't lead to your mistaken idea that Angela Fairchild and I are having an affair.
You think that, do you? Every time you and I talk, I bring up Angela Fairchild?
Well, it certainly seems like it.
Well, that's not true. The other day in your office, I didn't tell you, but Angela Fairchild came in while I was there.
Well,
you were off somewhere.
Oh?
You're pretending she didn't tell you.
Go on, Ginger.
I'd stopped by after shopping, and I was using your phone, and she came right on in without knocking, as though she expected to find you there.
That doesn't sound right.
That's what I've been telling
you. No. What I mean is, Angela has been refusing to see me in my office alone.
That's what she said, too.
All right, then. She must have known I wasn't there.
Perfect. Perfect.
You two must spend your time together getting your story straight.
Oh, Ginger, for God's sake.
And you keep asking me to believe you.
Well, I wonder if you have any idea of just how dangerous your foolish ideas are.
What do you mean?
Look, doctors and nurses have to work together. Doctors have to depend on nurses to give them the necessary information they gain from their observations of the patients.
Well, I don't see what that...
No, you wouldn't. Because of your jealousy and troublemaking, Angela Fairchild has been avoiding me. And in one very important instance, she did not pass on vital information to me.
You can't blame me for that.
I don't know, Ginger. But I do know one thing for sure. You are not going to come between me and my patients. I won't let you do it.
Say, maybe you know, what's the difference between Miss Clairol shampoo formula and Miss Clairol cream formula? I mean, they're both labeled natural wear.
They both give you great-looking hair color.
So what's the difference?
Well, the shampoo formula is quick and easy, and a great way to cover that first gray. What's more, it conditions as it colors.
What about the cream formula?
The cream formula is extra-rich color, and it conditions, too. It's the hair color hairdressers use to cover lots of gray, to make a more dramatic color change and still have that soft, natural look.
Oh, what do you think I need?
Try Miss Clairol shampoo formula. You don't have much gray, and you'll get a fresh, young color.
What do you use?
I use Miss Clairol cream formula. I've been using it for about 5 years.
Why? You don't have any gray.
Does she or doesn't she?
Oh.
See, you didn't even know.
Well, you sold me. And I suppose that natural wear means the color wears naturally.
Right. Miss Clairol shampoo formula or cream formula. To know you're the best you can be.
To Have and to Hold has been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.